Is there anybody else that you all know is coming? Don't think so.
Oh, yeah, Chris.
Oh, I don't think I just
said. I was just going to wait if anybody else was coming.
I think it's just
okay.
This is the majority.
This is the majority.
Yeah. If they only going to have a handful, so we only have a handful to put two handfuls to.
We prayed for all the sickness. As we know, there was a lot of it going around. So, okay, so let me start off with a question this morning. What does it mean to be a servant of the Lord? So y'all think about that a little bit. And when I talk about a servant, I'm talking about a worker, a helper, anybody that, any believer that uses their God-given abilities and talents as necessary, as he sees necessary, in obedience to him. And it's to point others to the place where God wants them to be. So where does God want us to be first of all in our life? Saving grace of Jesus Christ. This is how we gain that eternal life with Him. So we may, from time to time, well, when we say servant, when we look at it in the Bible, it also talks about or calls spiritual leaders. So everybody that is a believer has a role in a spiritual leadership with God. Now, whether you want to think so or not, or whether you want to acknowledge it or not, we have that role, and we learn that we cannot of ourselves perform that or accomplish it in our life. It has to come through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So we assume that responsibility by showing others, by overcoming all the obstacles in our life, by the things that we go through, the example of how we live our life in Christ, and showing them how to pursue or seek after a life that is according to the will of God. So, why do many times do we fail at this leadership role in our life or this life of servitude that God has given unto us? It's because we fail to live by the truth of God's Word. Now, I know you hear this from me all the time, but you'll learn to understand that God's Word is very important to us in our life. Very, very important, and very important that we live according to the truth of it. So, when we fail to practice that truthfulness in our own lives, others will not see it, because we have to be able to do it first in our own life. So how do we become spiritual, godly leaders? How do we become servants of the Lord? It comes through our obedience to His Word. That's how we get it, through the obedience that God expects from us. So He uses this to establish us as His servants. So in the book of 2 John, we're just going to go read this scripture real quick. In the book of 2 John, verse 6, and here is how this all comes together and works. He said, "And this is love." So it all comes together through the love of God. John 3:16 says what? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." So it all comes together through His love. And He said, "This love, that we walk after His commandment." We have a willing desire. We love to study the Word of God. How many's with me? You don't have to raise your hands, but you should. Sure, we should have a desire and a love to study the Word of God. And He said, "This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." So why does He say it's from the beginning? Because Christ Himself is the Word of God, and Christ Himself is from the beginning. So it has always been there. So how do we know if we're obeying the Word of God? How do we know if we're in obedience to God's Word? We know this through His Word. You do not know if you're being obedient to the Word unless you study the Word. Then the Holy Spirit will begin to show you where we need to work on this in our life. So it says His Word for us is love. Therefore, it's not the worldly emotion of love. You can't get that through the Word of God. So it's not just an emotion, but it's an action. It's an action that controls every reaction that we have in life. And we want those reactions to be controlled by the love of God through the truthfulness of His Word. So when our life begins to start to become self-centered, when we begin to focus on our own personal needs, our own selfishness, all of these things, when it's all about self, then we know it's not about God. Because self, God, we is not about ourselves, but God. So it's because God is the one that has commanded us to live by the truth of His Word. So when we do this, then we begin to walk in the love of God, not only towards one another, but towards the things that God has in store for us in our life. So we're going to go to the book of Exodus, and you can turn there with me. The book of Exodus, chapter 3. And we're going to read down a few verses, and we're going to talk about Moses a little bit. And we can't read it all, but we're just going to kind of go down through and hit some of the things. But what I want to do when we're reading about this, and this is when Moses was beginning to use Moses. If you remember that when he was born, and the Egyptian, they raised him, and then he killed an Egyptian. He fled to the desert. And now God's getting ready to use Moses. He's getting ready to bring him back to where He wants him to be. So God's going to get his attention by speaking to him through a burning bush. So in Exodus chapter 3, starting with verse 1. And what I want to do is when we read down through here, I'll stop periodically, because I want us to see how similar our own lives are to the way God wants to work with us in order to establish us as servants, and in order to establish us as spiritual leaders for Him. So in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now Moses, who kept the flock of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God." So one thing I want you to see here, not only was God preparing Moses, but how was He preparing him? He was preparing him in the desert. Where does God prepare us most of the time in our life? In the desert. In those places that we think are the worst places to live. But look at the one thing He said. Not only was He in the desert, but He was at the foot of the mountain of God. When God is preparing us, He is never very far away from us. It doesn't matter where we are, He is never very far away from us. And He said the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses, and in the flame of the fire out of the midst of the bush, he looked, and behold, and the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, "I'm going to go see what this is all about." So his curiosity, we talked about this in Sunday school. You know, sometimes our curiosity gets the best of us. But in this case, God was using Moses' curiosity to speak to him. And he said, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, then God was able to talk to him." God cannot talk to us if we do not turn to God.
Amen.
If we got our back towards Him, He's not able to talk to us because we're not paying attention to Him. So he said, he called unto him, and he said, "Moses turned to see, and he saw the bush, and he said, 'This great sight, and why the bush is not burnt.'" So he began to see what the glory of God was all about. You know, when we begin to talk to God, one of the first things that God wants us to see, He wants us to see His glory. That's we need to see the glory of God. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school class. People think one of these days God's going to take me out of this world, and then He's going to glorify me. Well, He'll complete that glorification process Christ in your life. But He wants you to feel it now. He wants you to know now while you live up here upon this earth. He wants you to know what His glory is all about. So He does things in our life. He takes us through desert places so that we might be close to Him and see what His glory is all about. So He said unto him, God called unto him, and Moses said, Lord, here I am. And He said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. So putting off the shoe, it was a symbol of getting rid of all the worldliness, all the things that distract us. God wanted to make sure that when He talked to Moses, it was just Him and Moses. When God talks to us, He wants it to be just Him and us. So that means everything that we got going on, rolling around in our mind, God wants us to get rid of those things. We have to bring those thoughts under control of the Holy Spirit, because God does not want us to be distracted. He wants to be able to talk to us one-on-one, and He wants us to hear and listen to what He has to say. So He said, moreover, He said, I am God, the Father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And He said, when Moses realized this, when he got rid of everything that was distracting him from the glory of God, he said he hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. Moses now knew he was in a conversation with God. When we are in prayer, when we are studying, and let me tell you this, if you're going to talk to God and you want an answer from God, when you go to prayer with God, you better take the Word of God with you, because that's how He's going to talk to you. So if you go and you're expecting an answer and you didn't go wanting to receive that answer, then you won't get this. You won't hide your face because you're afraid to look upon the glory of God. So this is what Moses was doing. So now he said, the Lord said, I have seen the affliction. You know, there's not one thing that goes on upon this earth that God does not see. Before you ever take anything to Him, He's already seen it. He already knows it because He already allowed it to take place in our life. So He said, not only have I seen the affliction, I've come down to deliver them out of that affliction, to bring them unto a good land. Now in verse 9 He says, and now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come upon me, and I have seen the oppression. And in verse 10, here's what He said to Moses. He said, now, you come. Come now. So now Moses had a choice. He could either follow after God or he could go back to tending the sheep. So he said, you have a choice. He said, come now. He said, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh and you're going to bring these people out of that affliction that I have allowed them to be in. And Moses said, same way we do, we start making up excuses. Moses said, who am I that I should go and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, and here he's going to give him a sign. So you can remember this back. Where was he at when he first met God in the desert? He at the mountain of God. And he said, here's the sign I'm going to give you. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and these shall be a token unto thee. And he said, ye are going to serve me upon this mountain. After I do everything that I told you that I'm going to do, you'll be right back here in the same place serving me. What a great promise that God gives unto us, that He'll always bring us back to the place where we will see His glory. Amen. So God, He uses many things to get our attention. And I think as you sit there and you think about this, you ought to try to think, what are some of the ways that God has used me in my life? What are some of the things that God has done to get my attention? And usually when He does this, it's probably something that you've already got going on, and it's probably something that is going on in the world, which we probably shouldn't have been into in the first place. But He begins to disrupt that so that He might be able to get our attention, something that is already in progress because He wants us to slow down. He wants us to back away from the things of the world. And He wants us to start focusing upon Him. He wants us to turn to Him. And then He wants us to begin to see His glory. So the first thing God has to do in our life is He has to get our attention. Now, sometimes the way He gets our attention, there are unexplainable ways in our life. We can't explain them. Lord, why is this happening to me? And all the time He's up there saying, I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to get you to turn around and talk to me. I want you to see the glory that I have in store for you. So He uses these events in our life to gain our attention, but not just to gain our attention, but through this He wants to give us direction. Direction that leads to His hope, the things that He wants us to carry out in our life according to His will. Now, it just wasn't with Moses. Let's look at a couple more examples. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 9. And let's look at a great, who turned into a great spiritual leader. He started out, his name was Saul. And now, a lot of the New Testament we have are books that are written by Paul, who was Saul, that God took him and used him as this great spiritual leader. But in Acts, chapter 9, I'm just going to read you a few verses about his conversion, and then I want to read over in 15 and 16. But he said, and Saul, he fell to the earth, in chapter 9, verse 4, and Saul fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick a prince against the goats? And what he was talking about here is Saul didn't, he was afraid of the persecution he might get from the people that he was following, so therefore he didn't want to follow after God. Now, does that sound right in our life in Christ? Sometimes we're afraid, or we don't want to stand up against the worldly things that we're into in order to follow after Christ. It happens to us in our life. But he said, this is something I want you to do. And he said, he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no man. Saul rose up from the earth. When his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Now, that we could have started out like Saul and became somebody like Paul, and then now we're going to say, look at Ananias, who we're sometimes as believers, we're an Ananias, because God told Ananias to go, this is going to be your spiritual leadership. You're going to go talk to Saul or Paul now. And over in verse 15 he said, but the Lord said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. He was afraid to go. Moses was afraid to go. A lot of times we're afraid to go. God doesn't want us to have worldly fear. God wants us to, He wants to get our attention. He will not leave us wondering what if, that whatever's going to happen, because He's very specific with us in our life. And so therefore He wants us to listen. He wants us to take the direction that He's given unto us. He wants us to have the confidence that He has instilled within us through the leadership of the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because He's going to lead us in the way of His righteousness. And He wants us to follow after the things that He would have for us to do. So He said, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. A lot of times we don't want to follow after the Lord because there's going to be suffering involved. Christ suffered the whole time He was here upon this earth. And we're thankful that He did. Because if He hadn't have suffered, we wouldn't be able to be saved. So there's going to be suffering involved in our life here upon this earth. Let's go to Psalm, the 119th Psalm. So let's look at a person who suffered, and we're going to see how to overcome that suffering. The 119th Psalm, starting with verse 33. And there's several things down through here. I'm going to read these few verses, and then I'm going to point them several things out to you. But in Psalm, the 33rd Psalm, the 119th Psalm, I'm sorry, starting with verse 33, he says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." So now we're going to learn. We're learning what it's like to be a spiritual leader, a servant for God. "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yes, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, and therefore do I delight. Incline mine heart unto the testimonies and not covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." So just go down through there and mark these few things that David, these examples that David gives to us. First he said, "Teach me, O Lord." Second he said, "Give me understanding." First, and then he said, "Make me to go. Incline mine heart. Turn away mine eyes from the world. Establish thy word in me. Turn away my reproach. And give me, quicken me into thy righteousness." Look at those, the instruction that is given unto us, the things that David shows us. So when we begin to think about this in our life, then the greatness of the love of God within us is what is our willing desire to be obedient to His Word. Did you get that? It's the greatness of God's love in us that helps us to be obedient to His Word. That's what gives us that willing desire. So Christ said the two greatest commandments are what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And then love thy neighbor as thyself. The one is a commandment, our willing desire to God. The other one is our obedience to God. To love thy neighbor as thyself. So, we have to have a yearning desire to surrender to the will of God and be obedient to His Word. I cannot stress that enough. We've got to be obedient to the Word of God. So, we have to learn the reverence. Moses had to learn this. We have to learn the reverence, the holy place of God, the holy ground that God has put us upon. And where is that in our life? It is right here. We have to learn to reverence that holy ground. We had Dad said in Sunday school class this morning, we have this great ability living within us, the Holy Spirit, and we never use it. We never follow after. We never talk to it. This is the holy ground within us. This is the ground. This is the burning bush that Moses saw. This is where he had to kick his sandals off. This is where he had to get rid of the worldliness in order to understand that holy ground. This is the source of our holy ground. And God wants to meet us there every day. Amen. Every day. Every moment of every day. Through every event in our life. Through every temptation, through every trial, through every tribulation, through every situation, through every circumstance, God wants to meet us there. And we haven't kicked our sandals off yet, so we don't meet Him there. Because we still have too much of the world living within us. We have to show an expression of our love to God, which is our reverence to Him. Leave all the situations of the world behind us and continue to step into His mercy and His grace in our life. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Here's what he says. And this was a statement and a question all at the same time. He said, "Don't you know that the temple of God, that ye are the temple of the living God, and that the Spirit of God dwells within you?" Don't you know that? Now, he's not talking to unbelievers because they don't have it yet. The Holy Spirit only lives within you when you accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So he was talking to them. He was talking to you people. He said, "You're believers. You got the Holy Spirit living in there. Have you not realized it yet? Or why aren't you using it if you've realized it?" And in verse 17 he said, "If any man defile the temple," okay, so how are we going to defile the temple? It's through, and we might say simple stuff, this and that. No, it's through being disobedient. disobedient to the Word of God. That's how we defile the temple. Our disobedience. And yes, as unbelievers, we were disobedient. Yes, as believers, we are disobedient. So we do defile the temple. And he said, if any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. And he said, where do you want to be? Amen. Do you want to be one that is undefiled, or do you want to be one that suffers the consequences and the wrath of God because we're disobedient and we defiled the temple of God? So we have to learn to acknowledge God within us, and not just acknowledge Him in a so-so way. We have to learn to acknowledge Him in everything, in His entirety. Well, I like this verse in the Bible, and I can live by it. But now this verse over here, I don't pay attention to it too much because I just can't do that. Well, no, if you're going to do one, you got to do it all. When you accepted that saving grace, you got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You didn't get just one and you're going to get the others later. You got them all. So when we read and study the Word of God, we don't just acknowledge part of it, we acknowledge all of it. And we acknowledge it in its entirety because we have to believe it in its entirety. You can't just believe part of it and not all of it. So we learn to acknowledge God's glory in our life. And we learn to make sure that it is His greatness in our life and nothing else. So if we learn to live by God, then everything we do will glorify God. And if we're doing things in our life that doesn't glorify God, then we need to quit. We need to stop doing those things. So we acknowledge this identity, this new identity that we have in Christ. We learn through the Word of God, and we no longer live like we don't know Him. We act like we know Him. We show an example that we know Him. So acknowledging God within us is not possible. Let me say it again. Is not possible without some kind of change. And that change can only come through Jesus Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit. Had Moses not done what God told him to do, Moses would have never changed and would have went off the mountain without knowing what God wanted him to do. Without being the servant that God wanted him to be. Without being the spiritual leader that God wanted him to be. In Galatians, this will be my last verse. Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. I love these verses. I read them all the time. I am crucified with Christ. Okay? Every morning we ought to get up and read that verse. I am crucified with Christ. What an encouragement to be able to see the glory of God. But he said, nevertheless, I'm alive. So what are we talking about? We're talking about spiritual crucifixion, not this old earthly body. He said, I live, but he said, it's not me that is living. You hear people talk all the time, well, they got five or six people living inside of them. No, that cannot happen, okay? You go back to the Old Testament and Christ cast demons out, but that's all done away with through the grace dispensation period. No, that does not happen. The only person that you should have living within you is the Holy Spirit. That should be the one that lives. And that's what he was talking about. It's not me, but it's the Holy Spirit. He said, because Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the life that I live. And I live it in this mortal fleshly body, which one day will become immortal. But he said, I live it for God. And he said, I do this because he loved me and he gave himself for me. See, we don't understand. You know, most believers only get a little bit of understanding about that around Easter time. Because that's when most of them go to church. And here's something. So my buddy, and he wouldn't care if I told this. He said, I'm the CEO of the church. Christmas and Easter only. And he said, I'm faithful to them holidays. But it's got to be more than that. Every day, because we understand that we have this life that we have because God loved us and he gave his only begotten Son for us. So he says, now pay attention to this part, because we leave this verse out a lot. But he goes on to say, and it's for this reason, he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. How many of you today frustrated the grace of God? Don't raise, I'll raise mine. You don't have to raise yours. Sure. And he said, no, I do not frustrate the grace of God because of His righteousness that didn't come to me by the law or things that came about by man at that time, and at that time they needed it. But he said it came about by Christ. And he said, if I frustrate it, then what Christ done for me would have made it in vain because I'm not being obedient to it in my life. And he said, for this reason, I don't want to frustrate the grace of God. God knows, and don't think that He doesn't, He knows and cares about everything that happens to us or goes on in our life. Everything. Doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter what we do, because we mess up more than we are what He wants us to be. But God said, I know that. I don't like it, but I still care for you. And I want you to come back. So sometimes we look for solutions to fix these things that are going on in our life. We can't fix them. Okay? We have to allow God to fix them. So that means in order for that to happen, we've got to be ready to become a part of what God wants us to be. We have to be ready to become an obedient servant, an obedient leader. Whatever God has in store for us, we've got to want that in our life. So many people, believers, live miserable lives because God has something great in store for them and they're rejecting it or they're not following after it. And God's just trying to get them to go in the direction that He wants them to go. And when we begin to do this in our life, when we begin to humbly allow God, and He gives us this ability to be obedient to Him, then our obedience, which turns into our leadership, helps us to draw closer to Him in our relationship with Him. So I would ask you this morning, how close are you in your relationship with God? And that should be the closest relationship that you have. It shouldn't be your spouse or your kids or your grandkids, or Lord knows we had ours all night last night and we didn't want that close relationship come this morning. We was done with it. So, but how close is our relationship with God? So our satisfaction is only going to come when we are in a right relationship with Him. Non-believers never have satisfaction upon this earth because they do not have God. But as believers, we gain that satisfaction through our relationship with Him. So if we don't have it, we're not close enough to the Lord. And we need to start finding out, asking God, how do I get closer to You? And the first thing He's going to do is like He told Moses, Moses, I got your curiosity. You came to My holy place, but you're not going to get nothing until you take off them sandals. Until you get rid of that worldliness. Until you put that aside, then you'll begin to see My glory. But we have to do that first. God gets our attention. The rest is up to us. Moses could have said, no, Lord, I don't want to take my shoes off. And I think a lot of times we do that. Lord, I don't want to take that off. I don't want to put that away. I don't want to get rid of that. That's what's holding me together in my life. No, worldliness cannot hold you together. Only God can hold us together. So when we are obedient to Him, this establishes us as His servants. And God says, I need spiritual leaders in this sinful world because this sinful world has no leadership. Every believer is a leader if thou accept that God has in store for them in their life. And it all boils down and comes down to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, which comes through the love of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, this morning for the opportunity that you've given to us. Lord, the opportunity that you allow us to be a part of what your word is truly all about. And we would just pray this day, Lord, that it would be the truth of your word, Heavenly Father, and that the things, Lord, that we say, that we do, the light that we let shine, would come from your direction, from your understanding, so that others may see what your saving grace is truly all about. And we just pray today, Lord, that we learn to continue to put off those things, Lord of the world, those things that hinder our relationship with you, so that we might grow stronger in thee, Heavenly Father, and do those things, Lord, that are pleasing unto thee. We pray, Lord, that you continue to give us the ability and the strength to follow after the leadership of the indwelling Holy Spirit that is within us, Heavenly Father. Lord, let us recognize it to begin with so that we might do those things that you have in store for us to do and live the life that you would have us to live here upon this earth. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, remember, is it Thursday evening we hear, or Big Izzy? We're at Big Izzy. So we're still on. Let me just turn there and read those two things real quick. We didn't really get very far because I don't know who it was, but they got us sidetracked.
Huh? I think we're down to verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10.
Yeah, we're talking about being rich, and we're talking about fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Now, not this week, maybe not next week, but somebody, and who was it, so I know who to blame, brought up about when our name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, so I'm working on that. We had a Bible study on that one time. I'm adding some stuff to it. I'm going to send it out to you so you have scriptures and stuff to read and go by, because we want everybody to tell us what they think. So sometime in the next couple weeks. So we're supposed to be studying that. And I'll try to get that out maybe today or tomorrow in an email, so that we can all have scriptures and stuff. But there's several scriptures in the Bible that talk about it. And then we're going to discuss that. So we want everybody to have a chance to look it over, and so that we might have that discussion. And that's going to go along with the things that we're studying in the book of Revelation. Okay, Thursday evening at Big Isaac at 6 o'clock. Now, next, and I'll ask this because I've talked to a lot of people, but I want to make sure, because if you don't want to do it, we don't have to do it. But what we talked about was the first Sunday of the month, we're going to make sure everybody knows so nobody shows up here at church expecting people to be here, but we're going to combine the two churches the first Sunday of every month and do it over at Big Isaac. And then following the service, we'll have breakfast for everybody, a time of fellowship. So is everybody, are we okay with that? Or because we don't want anybody not to come. I mean, it's 2 miles across the hill, so it's not very far. But so we'll have Sunday school, preaching, breakfast. And we want to encourage everybody to stay. Come for Sunday school, come for preaching, and stay for breakfast, because this is a time of fellowship. And so we need this within the body of Christ. So is everybody okay with that? So that would be next Sunday, would be the first Sunday we're going to give it a whirl. Okay? All right, good. And if it don't work out, that's okay. Don't don't get upset if you come up and say, hey, I don't really want to do that. I'm not going to get mad. I'm still going to breakfast. No, I'm kidding. So, all right. And then the 14th is homecoming here at the church. So from 10 to 11, we're either, I haven't decided yet, the Lord will tell me, we're either going to do the Sunday school lesson or we're going to have preaching. And then from 11 to 12, we've got some different people, I think, that's going to be coming in and they're going to sing. No big groups or anything. We're just going to hear some good old-fashioned singing. And then after that, we're going to have lunch. The 14th. Did I miss anything? Did I get everything right?
I think so.
Okay. All right. If there's nothing else, let's stand and praise the Lord three times. Let's go to dinner. Is everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.